It was the only filling station. It was set off the road, and the only reason I went there was because I really had to pee. And it was the only station I had seen signs for in a while. The signs were old and hand-painted, and they had big faded red arrows on them that directed me to the place. The station had once been on the main highway, but they built the interstate through, and that put it out of the way. But, somehow, it had hung on. The station was grimy, with dust and bugs that had blown against the outside glass, which was long and wide. You could see through all the grime, but not clearly. The light behind the glass was dim, as if seen from a distance, even though I was close. There were two pumps outside, and they were really old. There wasn't any business about putting your charge card in them and running the gas yourself. I could tell that just by looking at them. You had to go inside to pay before the gas was turned on. But I didn't want gas. I wanted to pee. I parked over by the restroom, and when I got out, I saw on the restroom door a sign that said you had to ask for the key. I quick walked to the station's front door, which is an old wooden affair that creaked open with a rusty hinge sound. There was a stringy guy in a gray cap behind the cash register, and on the counter next to the register were large smudgy glass jars of pickled eggs, pickled pig's feet, some dill pickles and brine, as well as something suspicious in a jar full of yellow liquid. There was a pair of tongs lying on a cracked saucer, in case you wanted to screw off the lid of one of the jars and pull something out. There were the usual odds and ends elsewhere. Chips, beef jerkies, air fresheners, and the like. Some of it looked too old to still be for sale. Some of the candies and chips had names I hadn't seen in ages and thought they were long out of business. On the wall behind the man was a boar's head. It was moth-eaten, and one of the tusks was missing. I asked about the restroom key. He took his time to answer. He had one of those voices that sounded, if it weren't used often, it had corroded.
"You got to buy something."
"All right," I said. "I'll have a pack of gum."
"Needs to be more than gum."
"All right, then how about a bag of chips and a package of gum?" I got those items and paid for them, and he gave me the restroom key, which was attached by a chain to a narrow board a foot long and as thick as my wrist.
"Door locks behind you," he said. "You won't need it coming out, but bring it back."
I told him I'd return for my goods after I finished up, went out and walked around to where the restroom was. When I used the key and re-entered, I heard the door lock behind me. I flicked on the light, which was one bulb in the center of the ceiling. It hummed to life, but was hazy and gave off a urine-like color. I decided the station fellow might not think the restroom was public, but it looked as if it were quite public, because it stunk of urine and feces and the little white mint in the urinal had turned as yellow as a canary. The smell that rose up from it was stifling. Beneath the urinal was a crusty dark stain. The last time this place had been clean was when it was built. I decided I had to do more than pee. I ought to go the whole hog, as much as I hated to in a hole like that. I went into the toilet, closed the door, tried to lock it, but the lock was poor, so you were really on a kind of honor system. If someone pushed from the outside, the stall door would easily fly open. By this time, I was glad to see there was paper on a roller, and that the seat wasn't too nasty-looking, though there was a dark stain inside the porcelain bowl that made me gag a little. And, like the urinal, it was odoriferous.